The past 2 years, Americans have seen an unprecedented government reach into the private sector, some of which may be necessary. They're angry about it, however, as they should be, as it touches their individual lives and pocketbooks. For many, the overreach of government began with a bank bailout, or TARP for short, T-A-R-P. The $700 billion TARP that I opposed was passed in the fall of 2008, when every day we awoke to see a new financial crisis headlining the front page. Now, TARP was initially intended to purchase the troubled assets and get them off the books of the troubled banks. Yet over time, the program evolved into a fund, some would call it a slush fund, to include bailouts for the auto industry and the housing market. The term bailout will never be the same again. I think the American people are right, Mr. President, to demand that they are never again put on the hook to bail out a failed company. They are right to demand that those who got us into the financial mess not be allowed to do so again. Unfortunately, the financial regulatory reform bill that the Senate is set to take up and debate does not achieve these goals. I know both sides are now involved in discussions, and the next 48 hours is going to be absolutely crucial to determine if, in fact, we can get a bipartisan bill. But with, as any business, if it is mismanaged, if its leaders make poor decisions, the business should be allowed to fail. Success and failure have, until recently, been the cornerstone of what has made our economy one of the strongest in the world. The bailouts of financial and auto companies have turned that philosophy on its head, and I think it is a dangerous road. We need to set a new course. It is what the American people want. This bill does not end bailouts. Instead, it allows some of the largest financial institutions to contribute to a bailout fund to be used if a company were again to fail. Well, this does nothing to deter companies from taking risks that could lead to failure and the need for a future bailout. In fact, it sends a signal that the government will bail out institutions just as it bailed out Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the two troubled mortgage giants that have received $125.9, might as well make it $126 billion in direct government funding, and now have an unlimited U.S. credit line. Yet there's no mention of Fannie or Freddie in this bill. Failure to deal with Fannie and Freddie keeps taxpayers on the hook for more bailouts of these entities. The bill also allows the FDIC and the Federal Reserve to continue to come to the aid of financial failing firms, which means that the financial markets will be fully aware of the government's authority and inclination to prop up large failed financial institutions. The very existence of this authority undercuts the claim that the government will actually ever wind up with such firms. These firms, along with their creditors and shareholders, will take more risks and, yes, put the financial system in even greater danger. Now, there's also been much attention paid to the creation of something called a Bureau of Consumer Financial Protection, BCFP. I would hate to try to pronounce that acronym. This sounds like a good idea at first. We all want, everyone in this Senate wants to ensure strong consumer financial protection. That's not the issue. Yet rather than working with regulators to strengthen existing consumer protection rules and crack down on unfair, deceptive, and abusive practices, this provision adds another layer of bureaucracy and financial regulation that will ultimately be harmful for consumers, and I mean all consumers. By raising their costs for financial products and limiting the types of financial products and services that are available to choose from. Not only that, this bill increases the regulatory burden for banks, including our community banks, that are already subject to 1,700 pages of regulations in just the consumer area alone. Under this bill, our community banks would have to comply with an additional 27 new or expanded regulations including new burdens or small business loans. No telling how many pages these new regulations will add or how much they will increase the cost of lending to small business. Finally, this bill harms the very innovation and entrepreneurship that has made our country so successful and creating one of the strongest economies in the world. It does this by limiting the ability of small startup companies to raise seed capital. Currently, angel investors, that's quite a name, but angel investors, those higher income individuals who would like to invest in a promising startup company, take the risk, if you will, must have a net worth of at least $1 million or income of $250,000. This bill increases those requirements to $2.3 million and $450,000, respectively. Estimates are that this provision, along with the provision in the bill that would subject startup and investors to 50 different sets of state regulations, would disqualify about 77% of current investors. In 2007, these individuals invested $26 billion in more than 57,000 ventures across the country. We're talking about companies such as Amazon, Google, Facebook, all benefited from angel investors. Yet this bill makes it harder for promising young companies to get the capital they need to get started to grow and become successful. At a time when the unemployment rate is 9.7%, I think the last thing that Congress should do is to make it more difficult for small businesses to start up and be successful. Small businesses are, as the President has acknowledged, the leading job creators in the country. Mr. President, anyone, everyone, all of us agree we need better regulation of our financial system. However, the financial regulatory reform bill that came out of the Banking Committee does not achieve that goal. I dearly hope that the chairman of the committee and the ranking member can reach some accommodation to produce a better product. It does not address the problems as written that led to the financial turmoil, but instead imposes additional regulatory burdens on our community banks and financial institutions that did not contribute to that turmoil. It does not discourage risk-taking by large financial institutions. It does nothing to address Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, which had a central role in the collapse of the housing markets that helped trigger the financial crisis. It does not ensure that taxpayers never again have to bail out a failed company. However, it does increase the federal bureaucracy and make it more difficult and costly for consumers to obtain credit for their families and small business. Senator Enzi, at a recent lunch, just told us that he had actually read word for word the 268 pages that follow the $10 million criteria in regards to what this board or this council or this group will be responsible for. And, oh, by the way, who have we seen come in the halls of Congress to talk to individual offices but Harley-Davidson, and they're worried about funding for their motorcycles. Dentists, doctors, we have boat manufacturers, we have car dealers. 96% of their funding doesn't come from the automobile dealers. They come from somewhere else. They're worried. So as the news goes out and people read the 268 pages, everybody has to come to the conclusion that this is a bill like an octopus. It reaches out into anybody, any business that wants some venture capital or a loan or some leg up to start a company. This approach will not benefit consumers or community banks or our economy. We need to work to improve this bill. It is vital for our economy that we get it right when addressing financial regulatory reform, because the consequences will be seen for years to come. Thank you, Mr. President.